We're serious about your safety, dear listening friend. Now, I suppose that this may sound like the slogan of the various ecologists who are warning the people about the mercury content in fish. Or perhaps it may sound like the people that are trying to improve the safety of the automobiles that we ride. And those who likewise are trying to protect the consumer from the fraudulent claims of advertising. But what I want to talk to you about today in these few moments with the book is something far more serious than that. I want to talk to you about the safety of your own true self. It certainly is important to be serious about the safety of your body, but, dear friend, it is far more important that you consider the safety of your soul and spirit. Your soul and spirit constitute the real you, the real person, the immortal you, the eternal you. Now, man, the scriptures tell us, is made up of spirit and soul and body. The body is the house of clay in which you live. The spirit and soul, though distinguishable, are not separated. Your spirit is your intelligent part of your being, that which gives you a God consciousness. Your soul is the seat of your emotions, whereby you love or you hate and you feel. Now these constitute the real you, and these shall exist forever. Your life here on earth may be short or long, but your soul and spirit are immortal and shall exist forever. Will you not listen to what Jesus says in regards to this? He asks the question, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Think of that. He also said, quote, fear not them which shall kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy, or the word used for ruin, both soul and body in hell. You can read that verse in Matthew 10:28. Because of man being conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, he has a nature that is dead toward God. As he continues to live in this world, as you continue to live in the world, as we all continue to live, as the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. This is a way away from God. The Lord Jesus says it's the downward way. It's the broad way. He speaks of it as the way that leads to destruction, and he says many there be that are on that way. The safety of everyone traveling that road, dear friends, is in jeopardy. You are in jeopardy this very moment, for you have no lease on your life at all. Life is so uncertain, and you realize it, I'm sure. Do not turn yourself away from the facts that are presented to you momentarily, all around us. How quickly one is called away in death who is in the best of health. The Word of God would speak to us also. It likens life to a flower that appears for a little while and then fades away. The Bible also speaks of life as dew, that which, of course, evaporates when the sun comes up. The Bible also refers to life as simply a shadow that flits by as a cloud. Also to a ship. It's seen on the horizon, and when you look again, it's gone. It also speaks of life as an arrow drawn in a bow and then shot out of sight. Or to a bird that soars above, and as we gaze, it finally disappears. James also speaks of life as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. All this, dear friend, is intended by God to speak to us. To lay to heart the fact that life is brief and life is uncertainty, physical life, that is. But remember this, dear friend, that when your life here closes on earth, eternity begins. You shall live on. Your soul and spirit shall not cease to exist. Now, let us think for a moment as to why God brought you into existence. He designed you and your life to be of great enjoyment to yourself. In Proverbs, he says, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. God has the prescription for a life of enjoyment for you, a life of satisfaction, but it cannot be found apart from Him. Second, He also has designed your life to be for Himself. He has created you for Himself. And not only has He created you, but He sent His Son into the world to redeem you, to redeem us who had gone astray in our sin. Oh, what a tremendous price was paid for our redemption when the Son of God died on the cross that we might be redeemed, loosed from our sins, and that we might belong to Him, yea, doubly belong to Him, to be His creature whom He has created and to be His child whom He has redeemed. And then third, He has also designed your life that it might be of welfare to your neighbor. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, simply stating that we certainly do owe something to our fellow men. Now, if life does not fit into this pattern, dear friend, and you are not redeemed from your sin, you do not belong to Christ, you are not getting the best out of life, God is not getting anything from you, and your fellow men are not getting anything either. Your soul and spirit also shall perish in your sin when you leave this life forever. Oh, consider, will you not, the destiny of your soul. In the 16th chapter of Luke, for instance, we read of two men that died. One was a rich man. Nothing is said against him but that he was rich. He had everything needful here in this life. And when he died, he had a great burial. But he, when he died, opened up his eyes in hell, being in torment. He was conscious of where he was. He was suffering the agonies of being away from God. Yes, dear friend, his soul and his spirit were very much alive. The language, of course, is symbolical. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and speaks of the intelligence that he had of where he was. He was in torment. He was tormented in this flame, he said. And it suggests the agony of the feelings of his soul. He was denied even a drop of water to quench the thirst in his heart. But dear friend, consider the other. Lazarus, a beggar. We read that he died. He had nothing here in this life. But there's no question but that he had his trust in God. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And there in the place of bliss, he exists and lives. His spirit and soul is alive to the blessedness of being in Abraham's bosom. A figure, I say, of the Father's house, the paradise of God, the place where the thief went, the place where all who believe on Christ go, with Christ, at home with the Lord. Oh, this is what the Lord does here in Luke 16. He draws aside the curtain that we might peer into eternity of what takes place and where the souls are who die. Immediately that you close your eyes in death here, you open them either in heaven or hell there. Now did he, who is the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke these words, did he overdraw the picture? Nay, dear friend, he is the one who has come from heaven. He came from heaven and he knows what heaven is like. And he knows the agonies of hell. He knows what it means to be despised and rejected. He knows what it means to suffer the judgment of hell for the believer. He died on the awful cross that we might be redeemed. Just one or the other of these destinies is yours. Which shall it be? The Lord Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am he, that is, if you do not believe that he is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God, the one who loved you, the one who came to redeem you, the one who arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, the one who knows you, who wants you to come to him. If you do not believe him, he says, ye shall die in your sins. Make no mistake about it. And he also says, whither I go, that is to the glory, where he now is, ye cannot come. Think of it. Some 300 years ago, Queen Elizabeth of England lay dying. Though she was a Protestant, she was, alas, far from being a Christian. And by her bedside stood England's best physicians as well as trained and tender nurses. And as she drew near the very throes of death, she was aroused for a moment by the consciousness of her departure and exclaimed these words, all my possessions for a moment of time. I repeat them. She exclaimed, all my possessions for a moment of time. The brittle thread of life immediately broke. She was gone. Her spirit and soul fled, and the physicians pronounced her dead. With all her friends close by, with good doctors in attendance, and willing hearts to help, wealth and luxury all around her, yet she could not purchase even one moment of time, dear friend. And she could not buy her passport to the heavenly palace above. It reminds us of a scripture we read in the prophecy of Zephaniah, and I quote, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. The preacher in Proverbs also writes, riches profit not in the day of wrath. She had had many opportunities in her life, the queen did. The gospel had been presented to her. She could have turned to Christ, but she didn't. Dear listening friend, how about you? We are serious about your safety. Will you not be serious about your safety? Will you not consider your latter end right now? Will you not consider the fact that God loves you? Christ died for you. The Holy Spirit pleads and strives with you. Thus, the whole Trinity is desirous of your salvation. Well, will you not this very moment drop the arms of your rebellion and don't resist any longer the entreaties of God's grace any longer? The Savior waits. He pleads for you to come to him by faith. The Scripture says, only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord God. And John says in his epistle, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you not be drawn to this loving Savior? Will you not be warned? Will you not be serious about your safety? O Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He is the only place of safety. If you come to him, I assure you on the authority of the Word of God that your safety will be assured both now and forever. For he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. May God bless these words to every listener today.